Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Good man yourself, Anton. How are you today?
I'm flying, Dave. How's life with you? Any crack, any gossip?
You're the one with the gossip, because the gossip always relates to these tiny, ridiculously, amazingly weird stories that you have. So off you go.
Well, I'm going kind of mainstream this week, Dave, because there's a lot of stories relating to COVID and people trying to get the vaccine, because obviously the big game in town these days is vaccines. And my personal favourite is a man in his 30s in the UK who got bumped up the NHS list for vaccines and got put in the early stages. Because if you're 30, you're not meant to be getting the vaccine unless you had an underlying condition.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an underlying condition. So he was first surprised to get the letter telling him he qualified for the jab. And he was secondly surprised to be told that the reason that he qualified for the jab was because he had a body mass index of 28,000. The NHS was figuring that he weighed something in the order of about a 747.
Wait a second, it was a mistake, right?
Correct. They didn't notice that his height had become incorrectly listed as 6.2 centimetres.
Oh, here now, you go. Again, I'll give you, would that be about, what, 2.5 inches, maybe more?
Yes! What a man!
Yes!
Yeah.
I got one!
A human little finger. So he was 2.5 inches tall, but he weighed 17 stones. So they decided something had to be done fast.
Did you ever see The Incredible Shrinking Man? Amazing.
I did
movie.
Not.
Oh, it's fantastic. Anyway, go on. Keep going.
So he subsequently was told, actually, that was a mistake, and he's 6'2" as opposed to 6.2 centimetres and 6'2" and 17.5 stones.
Just answer me this. Did he get the vaccine?
No, he got bounced back off the list.
Ah, right, okay.
There has been a similar instance of people getting bounced off a list in the States, where two youngish, they're in their 30s and 40s, which frankly, where I'm standing, that's young. They got bounced off an attempted fraud trying to jump the queue to get the jab in Orlando. They showed up at, a vaccine center in Orlando, Florida, faking that they were elderly. And I'm not making this up. The police spokesperson who was asked about this said that they showed up wearing sunglasses, gloves, and bonnets.
Bonnets, I love it. Hold
bonnets.
On a second. I thought I read somewhere where like very rich people pretended they weren't rich people and they went for it. Like they went in their private jet to some place and then crawled up the street as though they were like, you know, just straight from the street, no?
I'm sure there's a lot of it going on, but I think deciding that the way, if you're 35, that you look 65 is to put on a bonnet. That makes you look like you're in antebellum Georgia. It doesn't make you look like you're 65 in modern America. There's another one that I thought was interesting as well. On the far side of that, as we have people who are falling over themselves trying to get jabs, we also have the people who are wary of the whole notion of, oh, what do you call it these days? Yes, medical science.
Right.
So they need to be incentivized to get jabs. And in Washington, D.C., they've come up with a program that they think may actually work, which is in D.C., an organization is making sure that if you show up for your vaccination, you leave with a free bag of marijuana.
Really? A free bag of marijuana?
A free bag of marijuana. They don't specify how large the bag is, but it is a bag of marijuana. The organisation is
called...
God,
it's a long way from John Sinclair. You're supposed to say, now, who's John Sinclair?
I was literally inhaling to do just that.
Right, there's a song on Sometime in New York City, an album by John Lennon, and it's all, It Ain't Fair, John Sinclair. Basically, I think he went to jail for about 10 years because he had one joint in his pocket. So it's the other way around now. They're handing them out.
Well, this is it. And where you talk about the unfairness, it's one of those areas where there is a big racial unfairness in the States. You are much more likely to be prosecuted for recreational amounts of marijuana if you're black than if you're white. And because of the three strikes rule, you're much more likely to do time. And therefore you have this, it's one of the big contributors to the black prison populations in the States. But putting all of that to one side, this organization is called Joints for Jabs. And they're making sure that if you show up in DC to get your jab, you'll also get a joint.
Wow, that's amazing.
Parasitic wasps.
Who?
Parasitic wasps.
Parasitic. I thought you were talking about Paris City. Okay, parasitic wasps. Yep.
Parasitic wasps. Here's the one, Yule, on a complete tangent, and I hope I haven't told you this before, but I found this very interesting. You know that the classical stereotype of the French person?
Onions and stuff.
Yes, onions, bicycle,
yes.
Black and white shirt, beret.
And a beret, yeah.
Do you know where that comes from?
Where's Wally?
Close. No. I thought this was amazing. Where this comes from is Northern Normandy is a big onion growing area, apparently, so I'm told.
Okay.
And they grow these pink onions that are fierce, fancy and very expensive. If you're in Northern Normandy, it was actually pre the industrialization. It was easier to get to the markets in London by boat than it was to get to the markets in Paris by road. So a lot of the French farmers would sell their onions in London on the boat rather than going to Paris. And the traditional costume of Normandy was the black and white and the beret. So London had a load of these guys from France in that outfit with onions around their neck on bicycles flogging their stuff. And that went down and became the French stereotype that we all know.
Right, so in other words, if you're one of those, that's what everybody in France is like. Amazing. Okay.
Parasitic wasps, Dave.
Yeah.
If you are into knitwear, one of the problems that you have is moths.
Right, okay, moths, yeah.
Have you ever had a jumper eaten by a moth?
No, I don't think I have.
It's very depressing, Dave.
Right.
I have a series of jumpers which can't be worn for, you know, functional...
And do you call them Gansies, pullovers or jumpers?
I'm a jumper man myself.
Jumper, yeah, I would be too, I suppose.
Yeah, you're dancing in the disco, it's bumper to bumper. Wait a minute, exactly. You're not looking for a Gansy. So, the parasitic
wasps... It's easy for you to say things will only get better. You haven't lost your brand new sweater. Oh, yeah. That's all right for you. Anyway, go on.
The parasitic wasps are a solution to moths eating your knitwear. In this instance, they are being released into Blickling Hall in Norfolk, which is
Blickling.
Where Anne Boleyn... Blickling.
Okay.
Which is where Anne Boleyn was born.
Really?
Yeah. And one of the difficulties they have is they have moths, and the moths are eating all of the historic furniture and a lot of the historic tapestries because there's wool in there. And what happens with the moths, of course, is, as far as I know, it's actually the larvae of the moths, and they lay them onto the wool, they hatch, and then they eat the lanolin and the natural oils in the wool. And once you get them, they're hers, Dave. You can't get rid of them. And there's a whole load of things that they suggest, like putting cedar in with your knitwear because apparently they don't like cedar. So a lot of people keep their knitwear in cedar chests to try to keep the moths away, but it's not particularly effective. So what they're doing in Blickling Hall, the home of Anne Boleyn, or as she then was before, you know, that whole head-body separation issue, they're releasing these parasitic wasps, which will go and sit on the eggs of the moths, burrow their way in, and then hatch wasps instead of moths.
So hold on, fumigation kind of new-fashioned ways of doing things won't work. So they're going to let it on. I presume when they let millions or thousands of these off in this, I presume it's a big estate or a big huge house, if it's Bingley Hall or whatever it's called. The point about it is that they just let them free and then they run out of the house and come back a week later and hope all the guys are dead. And then what do they do with the parasitic wasps?
No, you don't even have to run out of the house. That's the amazing thing. You hang a little box of parasitic wasps in your closet and they're almost microscopic. You can barely see them. They then go about their business and effectively cuckold the moths and turn their eggs into wasp eggs instead of moth eggs, and then you end up with a whole lot of very, very small wasps. But eventually the very, very small wasps run out of moths to eat, and then they just die and become house dust and get vacuumed up. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, all right. And did the second wife, oh God, I hope I got that right, of Henry VIII, did she have to do that as well when she was there for the few years she was there?
I don't know what the story was with moth control in the Middle Ages, but I suspect clothes spent most of their time on the wearer as opposed to in the wardrobe,
yeah.
And therefore it was less of an issue. Did you know, I've discussed this with you before, the one of the best jobs you could have in Henry VIII's court?
Was what?
Groom of the stool.
Oh, yes. Look, A, you've told me that before, but B, you came right into the microphone for that bit there so that everybody could hear it in the Outer Hebrides. You love it. Schoolboy.
The other thing about Henry VIII is, you know the legend that he exploded?
Did he? Yeah, really? I thought he was kind of...
Henry, kind of when he died,
brought
he
down
lay
the wrong
in state.
Path by Thomas Cromwell. Go on.
He lay in state in Westminster Abbey, I think it was.
And he exploded.
And it was... Yeah, it was so hot that... they think that they have put jam on it over the years and that maybe he actually just leaked a bit. But all either way...
You know, just thinking of the wasps, would they sting you?
I don't think so. I think because they are almost microscopic. And I don't think all wasps sting. I think some wasps are quite benign. Like mud daubers, for instance, I think are a form
mud of wasp. Daubers.
Mud daubers, yeah. Have you ever seen a mud dauber? Cool little fella.
We get common ones and German ones, and we don't get the ones you've just mentioned there, which is the parasitic ones.
Well, we may get the parasitic ones.
We just don't see them.
They're so
small.
You wouldn't know you have them.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
And if we got the German ones, are they like the false widows? Are they a new arrival, or do we always have them?
God, I haven't got a clue. I don't know. I just know there's always two. Like, you can pretty much say that's a wasp and that's either German or common or something like that, isn't that it? No.
You could tell the difference between a German wasp,
no,
wasp
God,
and a
me.
Common wasp.
I certainly could not. No, no.
Big news from Ukraine, Dave.
Yeah, what happened?
They're auctioning underpants.
Okay, why are they auctioning underpants, Anton Savage?
They have been seized by the Justice Ministry in a swoop on debtors and are being auctioned for 70 cent a throw. Secondhand underpants.
So they seize everything and then they just auction everything.
Including their underpants.
And you can actually buy, and how much does it cost, did you say? How much are a pair of underpants?
70 cents.
Like maybe they're incredibly famous person's underpants. People like that kind of thing, you know?
No,
I remember
just
that
underpants.
Headline, John Lennon's tooth to visit Salford. As a headline in some English paper once. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I don't know, I've no idea. I won't be buying it myself. So anybody's underpants, is that it?
Yeah, anything owned by the debtor is auctioned. And in this case, one of the things that they have put up on the Ministry for Justice website is underpants. And then the bit in this that surprised me is I would have thought 70 cent was actually a relatively normal price for new underpants. And if you buy a 5-pack out of Primark, you know, you're not going to be spending more than maybe a euro or two on new.
Could be some famous Ukrainian pop singer. No, probably not. Go on.
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be happy in another man's underpants.
No.
A man has handed himself into Sussex police just looking for peace and quiet.
Why is that? What's wrong with the place he's living in? Is it very noisy?
Yes. Right. He rang the police, and according to Inspector Darren Taylor of the Sussex Police, the man rang us and said he was going to hand himself in. He was wanted, having escaped custody. The man rang us and said he was going to hand himself in into a Burgess Hill police station, and that he had broken off his electric tag, and he said he would rather go back to prison than have to spend more time with the people he was living with.
Oh, so he was out on some kind of remand anyway, was he?
He was on one of those electronic tags where you're not allowed to go outside a certain area. He busted that off and disappeared out of their what's the
and that's
frame of reference scope of influence.
Yeah, and that's, in other words, what would be enough to get him rearrested anyway, because he shouldn't have broken the tag.
Correct.
So he can't just he can't just knock on the door and say, "Have you got a bed for the night?" kind of thing. He'd have to, have to have a reason to put him in there.
Yes, he would have to either commit a fresh crime or have a pre-existing warrant for his arrest.
Exactly.
Which in this instance is what happened. But Dave, ironically, his other option would have been to fake a crime and hope that during the investigation it would act in his benefit, like a man just did in Ukraine.
What did he do?
He reported a murder that didn't happen in the hope that police would clear the snow on his road.
Ah, right. So they'd come along and clear the snow and there's no dead body. So I presume his ruse didn't work, did it?
Well, it's a huge disappointment on many fronts, because he not only did his ruse not work in that the police were able to get to his house using an all-terrain vehicle and therefore didn't have to clear the snow, but he's now being prosecuted for making a false claim.
Right.
Call. False call. Yes.
But that was obviously going to happen, wasn't it?
I would have thought so. But you know what the fine is in Ukraine for making a false call?
I don't.
€3.50.
Is that all?
That's it. I would have thought you could buy.
You could have gone to the auction. You could have bought
pairs.
I was just going to say
exactly. Now, I think there's something wrong in the Ukrainian justice system. if the punishment for calling police out and trying to make them clear your road of snow and faking a murder is the equivalent of 7 pairs of secondhand underpants. Right. That just seems too low to me, Dave.
By the way, did they clear the snow?
No, they just drove over.
Right, okay.
In other news, a Twitch streamer has made $16,000 filming himself asleep and letting viewers disturb him.
What's a Twitch streamer?
I know, it's horrifying, isn't it? These are actual things. It's like the Sidemen. Who are they? Big, apparently. A Twitch streamer is somebody who goes online and publishes on the interweb what they are doing, whatever that might be. Playing a video game, chatting to their girlfriend, going for a walk. In this instance, this man who goes by the handle, is that what they call it nowadays?
Yes.
On CB radios with the kids. He's Asian Andy, and he is a 26-year-old in Los Angeles. And he set up his Twitch stream so that if you went on your little computer at home and you hit the right combinations of buttons, I'm guessing it's function something, you could cause his computer to either make a noise or to say things to him. And you had to pay for
the privilege. And you pay for the privilege, and he's made loads of money. How much has he made?
He made $16,000 in a single night. And people played things like a dog barking or making his alarm go off.
So now, wait a minute, he wasn't asleep?
Well, he was until they made the dog bark, and then he woke up and they went, "Oh, look at that. I just woke up, Andy. That cost me $100.
He should have got, have you heard the Harry Styles thingamabob? They're all at it. Matthew McConaughey's at it. Chris Hemsworth, they're all doing it in lockdown. Have you seen it, no?
No, what's it?
It's called It's Dream With Me. And basically, Harry, I mean, like, my heart melts. He just says, "Hello, I'm Harry Styles," and I'm gone. He's got me.
Hang on a minute.
No, well, then he does another 10 minutes of a story. He does more, but like the very beginning, I'm with you, Harry. I sleep with Harry. It's fantastic.
But is it a bedtime story
yeah.
that he reads to you?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
And right, Matthew McConaughey right. goes, all right.
Is this for adults, Dave, or is this for children?
I have no idea. I don't care. I often go into a restaurant and just want the kids' portion, just a few, you know, to hell with all that. Who cares?
But have you not? Is Harry Styles so effective that you haven't stayed awake to hear what the story is aimed at? Have you, like, where does it go after?
Well, the problem is once you hear it once, yeah, it's a bit of a problem, all right, yeah. But it's hilarious. I mean, Harry's the man, you know, he's great.
Is he?
Oh, God. I'll tell you something about Harry. I went to see him in concert far, far, far away, and he was very good. Anyway, go on. Tell me one last story.
I can't believe this is up here with discovering that you went to the Dr. Hook and the Travelling Medicine Show.
The Travelling Medicine Show. I went to Dr. Hook. Yeah, it was called off after 10 minutes because somebody dropped a bottle of Coca-Cola on the mixing desk and the whole thing went. It was in the stadium in Dublin. Anyway, have you got one last one, no?
Yes, you remember the Silver Monoliths?
The Silver Monoliths. Oh, I do, yeah. Yeah, there was the Utah Desert or something, Monument Valley or something. That was the first one.
Sorry, I thought you were naming them. There was Hungry, no. Dopey, Sneezy. There was the... There was one, you're right, in the middle of the Utah Desert. And I mean, really the middle, like, had to go miles out of the way. So these are, whatever, 12-foot tall stainless steel monoliths, like what was at the start of 2001 A Space Odyssey, only obviously that one was black, but let's not get too pedantic. And they've been cropping up all over the world. There was one in Utah, there was one in California, there was one, I think, somewhere in Romania.
Yeah,
there was.
Yeah.
Etc. Right.
Yeah, they're all over the place now, so they're 10 a penny. I know what's happening, though, because one is going to happen in some place, and people go, another one of those things. And that's it. See, it's like the boy who cries wolf. That's the time when, like, the aliens who will be coming back on the Perseverance from Mars, from the rover.
You're going straight to aliens.
Yeah, they'll be in it.
Your expectation of this is of a much higher quality than mine. My expectation was that it is revealed to be a marketing scam for some Christopher Nolan film. But aliens are much more exciting. Well, there's been an interesting twist of fate with these, because so far what has happened around the world is people have gone, a monolith, and gotten on with their day. One has just appeared in the Democratic Republic of Congo on a roundabout in Kinshasa.
Okay.
And it began like it began everywhere else around the world, where everybody went, look at that, monolith. Where it ended, though, was people beating it with sticks and setting it on fire.
Really? So people are sick of it, is that it? Or are they scared of it?
I think there may be more people sharing your view that this is the locator beacon for the aliens.
Will I tell you a story about a roundabout? Do you know an amazing thing? Do you know Julian Cope? Did you ever hear of a band called The Teardrop Explodes?
I did not hear of a band
called
The Teardrop
Explodes.
Okay,
well, anyway, Julian Cope was kind of the main man. He's kind of out there, very weird in that. He lived on a roundabout for about 2 years. He did. It's fantastic. Anyway, on that note.
No, you can't leave it hanging.
Okay.
Where was the roundabout?
Somewhere in Salford again. I don't know. Somewhere in England.
In a tent or?
Yeah, a makeshift kind of vibe. You know, it was long before, you know, whatever you call the people who
stay. It was long before what? Before roundabout living became a thing?
No.
What trend have I missed?
No, before, I was going to say Operation Transformation, not Operation. What do you call the people who are.
If he'd been dinner, it wouldn't have happened.
Who sleep out all the time because they're against the whole corporate world. Or
Occupy Wall Street.
Occupy.
And on that note.
On that note, okay, so you're in charge. Fair play to you. You're right. Anton Savage. Listen, Anton, thank you very much indeed.
Dave, pleasure.
Good luck.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.